Hello and welcome everyone to episode 36 of Girl Fight. I am not Nicole Tanner, who is out sick today. This is Dana Jungle Ward and I'm sitting in as substitute host. So if everything goes awry, well, then we know Nicole is worth every penny of what we pay her.
This is our first episode without her, isn't it?
This is the very first episode without Nicole because the last time she was sick, we just didn't get it together. So yes. But so joining me today are Megan Sullivan.
Hola.
And Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Jessica Chobot makes her first appearance since pre-holidays.
I know. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hi. We're glad to have you here.
Thanks.
And also sitting in is special guest Audrey Drake.
Hey, everyone. I'm special.
You are very special. You are rocking some serious hardware today.
You're wearing a medal.
My medal.
Yeah.
I won the Mario Sports Mix National Tournament yesterday. Very proud.
Well done.
Way congratulations.
To represent for IGN and thank for women
you.
Everywhere.
Heck yeah.
How many boys did you beat?
All of them. I took out Rich in the first round.
Nice.
So what you're saying is that you should be running the Nintendo channel.
I'm not saying anything.
So did you get any fun prizes for winning at all, or just bragging rights?
I got this hat, mm-hmm. I got a shirt, and I got a Mario and Luigi blanket.
Nice.
Yes, and bragging rights, yes.
Bragging rights are always the
Mario
best.
Mario and Luigi blanket.
Yes.
That's
it's fuzzy and comfortable, too.
Cool. Excellent. So I guess that's a good segue into what we're playing, and what else have you been playing other than...
Well, I'm reviewing Radiant Historia, so I've been playing that. It's really cool, actually. It's a JRPG coming out in February. And I just started a new file on Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, which is awesome. I love that game. So
cool. That's
what I've been doing.
Excellent. Ms. Chobot.
I have actually gotten eyeballs deep in DC Universe Online. And that's probably the first kind of MMO, I guess, that I will... potentially hit the level cap.
Wow.
Oh, you will.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I get bored. Like, I mean, I played WoW for a long time, but I got bored and I always would create new characters and then I'd hit like level 25, 30 and I'd drop out because I just was tired of it. And then I'd start a new character thinking, oh, well, or a new class or whatever. And
thinking that it would fix it.
It would, like, I got to find my one thing, but I never did. The grind was killing it
did
for me.
Did you play with other people ever too?
Well, that was part of the problem as well. I personally always kind of like to default to solo, but then I did try grouping or like at least starting with or having at least a guild that I could play with. And what ended up happening is because at the time I was traveling so much because that was when I was living in LA. So I'd fly back and forth between the two. They would end up, I mean, they're not going to wait for me.
Right.
So they would level... you know, over the course of how many days and play constantly. And then I'd come home and be like, okay, guys, let's play. And they'd be all like level 80s and I'm still like 15. And it's just like, well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of had that problem with DC Online again, in the sense that the person that I was going to group with, when I did group with them, they were such a higher level than me. Mm-hmm. They would basically just do a run through a dungeon, and I'm just standing there collecting XP, and they would tell me
dungeons in DC Universe Online.
I don't know what else to call them, but
they're called.
Alerts. It is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, alerts. Okay. But I mean, whatevs. You know. Yeah. Well, no, not the alerts. Not the group. Not the instances. I'm talking
about the actual
you know, you're basically
quests.
Your final boss battle. Yeah. Your final boss quest, which are usually held in they're. All the setups are kind of the same. They're very similar to the way that they have all the police state. If you're playing Hero, the police station set up. You just kind of wander through this thing and go through these different levels until you find the boss. And, you know, I would be collecting XP, and I actually had the person say to me, don't bother, you know, and it would be just the two of us. It wasn't like a group of people. So we didn't have a healer, really. It was just like us just kind of hoping that he was strong enough. And he'd say to me, don't bother... doing anything, just stand back and collect the XP. And I'm like, well, why the hell did I
that's
play?
Not fun.
I know. I'm like, why? And that's my main complaint of games like this is why the hell did I buy this game for, let's say, $50-$60 and also am paying a $14.99 a month fee to play it so that I can stand here and watch you do all the cool shit Sorry.
Yeah.
And just.
I don't know how to edit, so.
Yeah.
adult sorry, world.
Earmuffs. You know, and I can watch, you know, mm-hmm. like, thank you for essentially, you know, power leveling mm-hmm. me, but at the same time, wow, am I bored? So the good thing, the whole point mm-hmm. of this mini rant was that the good thing to that is I basically told them, this is boring to me and I'm not going to do this again. Right. I'm not going to group again. And, where that would normally make me drop out again mm-hmm. and not bother to level. Because, and I don't know what it is about these little mini side missions, but I don't feel like I'm grinding ever. I really don't. That's cool. I just am having so much fun with it. And that feeling of, oh God, I gotta just mm-hmm. do this again, more of this crap, is not there for me. And that's so cool. I'm actually like leveling up incredibly fast. And
are you playing on PC or PS3?
I'm playing on PS3. Which is also really surprising to me because for the longest time, things like RTSs and mm-hmm. even with like first person shooters, I've never been a big fan of what in my mind at the time should be obvious PC gaming
right.
transferred over to console.
Yeah, I can't.
And I've never done well.
I can't imagine. And I haven't heard anything, but you know, I've heard mostly good things about PS3 controls, but I cannot imagine playing an MMO on
it's
a console.
It's actually really yeah. well done.
Yeah. I need my WASD.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the one thing that bothers me is because when I have played PC on things like that, I expect things when I click on them or whatever, mm-hmm. or hit them up, I expect the result to be instantaneous. And there's definitely some controller lag issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In
the UI is really slow.
Yeah, with PS3. But for the comfort of sitting on my couch and playing for hours and hours and hours, and the way that they actually did set up the menu mm-hmm. system and the selections.
Right.
I'm willing to deal with it mm-hmm. and I'm having fun. So, and that's really my big test. Like, am I having fun? Am I bored? And the answer is I'm having a blast. So, cool. Yeah, I'm going to probably play up until, I can get that iconic Wonder Woman armor that's all gold
oh,
and geez, awesome.
Oh, geez, Louise, that's going to take you a while, lady.
I am determined to have
you do have a with Wonder
armor.
Woman as the carrot. I actually believe you.
Yeah.
Might
that, I mean, it'll take me years because it will take me years, but I will get that armor, so help me God.
That will, you should really do.
Maybe you can make
you
friends
30,
with
make
someone at
alerts.
The developer and see if you can
that's,
get
don't think
it
that
you.
That thought has not also crossed my mind. I will play that card for this armor if I have to. And then just random side note in regards to that game. I noticed that Wonder Woman's statue in the Hall of Heroes in the Watchtower has no panties.
Has no bottoms.
She's got the battle skirt on.
Oh, is that what that is?
But if you actually fly up underneath the skirt, yeah. which it was like the first thing I did, because right. I mean, I want to see Wonder Woman's things. Like, what has she got going
parts.
On under there? I kind of did. I'm like,
they look
so
lady parts.
From I'm just like, us.
Well, no, they do because just, it's all smooth down there. It's a statue.
She's a hero, and I want to know what a hero's parts look like.
She looks like Barbie.
She does. She looks like Barbie, although okay. the back end, straight up butt cheeks.
Oh, totally.
Total.
Well, once I saw you do that, I actually went.
Did you go look?
There. I went and looked.
So then the funny thing about that is like a few days after, because I tweeted that,
tweeted.
And I hashtag DCUO mm-hmm. and like at DCUO and like mm-hmm. know that they saw that, you right. know. So then mysteriously the next day,
she
there was
underwear.
A massive patch. Not on her.
Yeah.
I mean, in the game, there was, like, an actual mess. and I'm, like, when I finally, you know, and the servers are down and all this stuff, and I'm, like, I wonder if they're going to fix her and, like, put some panties or something
yeah.
on her.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I did when I got back on the servers after everything, like, uploaded and changed and whatever, yeah. I went back to check. And no, they did not. So props to you for keeping her
for
naked.
Keeping her.
Yeah. For keeping her
she
naked.
She likes to let it breathe.
I wonder where
hey,
her
hey, you know
where?
What? The Greeks and the Romans back in the day, they did a lot of battling and a lot of Olympic things.
Are you saying
totally
whilst
naked?
Yep.
Whilst naked. So
which
they're
is how
just
they
keeping
won.
It.
It was the first dude to get his junk touching another
they're
dude.
Just
and that guy's like, oh, okay, that's fine, you win.
They're just keeping it legit, man. They're just keeping it legit. She's a true warrior princess.
All right.
That's funny.
Ms. Timer.
I played more Dragon Age 2 yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was the same stuff, though. I essentially just recaptured footage.
Why?
So that I would have it on a newer build.
Got it.
Honestly, I'm like totally blanking. I don't remember what the hell I've been playing. So none of it's been good. I haven't been playing any more DCUO in a while.
Wait, what do you mean? None of it's been good. What about Dragon Age 2?
Well, no, besides that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. God, you scared me.
No. Yeah. Dragon Age 2 is fine. Don't worry about that.
What are you...
No, I mean, like, at home. Like, I'm trying to think of things I've been playing at home, and it's all... Sorry. Oh, I was playing Spare Parts for review, and that sucked a lot. it's not a good co-op game at all, even though
that's
it's
really
supposed
sad.
To be.
I know. Yeah, because it's a similar, like, setup to, like, one of the Lego games.
Yeah,
like,
except the camera is crap, and it's, like, fixed on one person, and then, so if you die, you are respawned, but I was respawned off camera, so then I was just had to wait to be respawned again.
That's annoying.
I was respawned, like, behind an object, so I couldn't see where I was. I didn't think I was back yet. I was like, what's going on? And Colin's like, oh, I kind of see you behind, like, this thing's leg, and I'm like, what? Okay, and then I was spawned inside of a force field I could not get out of.
Oh, that is so annoying.
So there are a lot of really annoying things about that game. And combat's just really boring, too. Like, the whole thing was just sort of boring.
That's not been fun. Having a good few months.
No. No.
Sorry.
Yeah. I've been meaning to play more DCUO, but I refuse to play it until I fix voice chat.
Yeah, that is really... I forgot. Yeah, that is a huge annoyance, is that I actually went out and bought a headset.
And it doesn't work. Is it just not on PS3?
PS3 has been really spotty since launch.
Since
it's
beta.
One of those things that, and it's also really annoying because if you don't have your thing turned on, ready to go before you even enter the game, it won't work.
Well, they tell you, but here's the thing too that really annoyed me is, while that's annoying,
right.
They do tell you that in the instruction booklet, and you're like, okay, whatevs, you know, like, because it needs to sync up. Okay, I'm going to come up with some sort of reason in my mind. But what bothers me is once you're in the game,
it's totally
unintuitive as to where's your menu? How do you add people to your chat? Are you sure you're even chatting? And especially because it's spotty. Like,
you're not sure if it's not working or if you're doing something wrong.
You know, yeah. I thought it was me. Turns out, no, it's them.
It's the game.
Yeah.
Oh. It's the game. There was one
Bugs
time when
user error? Oh.
my headset wasn't working for a long time. And so I'm like, just tossed it on the bed and left it there. And I'm like, just yelling back and forth at Greg. And then eventually, guys, I can hear Greg's like, oh, your headset's back on. They're all yelling at me to tell you that. So I'm just like, oh, whoops. Okay. Hi, guys. And it was on League chat or something, even though I wasn't supposed to be. Like, I was technically not even a part of a chat.
That's weird.
It was really strange. I was like, okay.
Yeah, the menu system in the game itself to try and figure out if you're chatting properly is, like, pathetic. At least on the PS3 version. I haven't even checked the PC version, but I assume it's easier on PC. And then on top of it, it's spotty, which is a huge disappointment. And I spent $30 on nothing.
Yes.
Yes. Indeed.
Oh, Megan.
I've been playing to Mass Effect.
Wow. Oh my god, I didn't even know what you were about to say.
The suspense is killing you, yes. Yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've been having all sorts of crazy, amazing adventures because I don't know what I'm doing because I don't play shooters normally, so it took me a while to sort of get the swing of things. So, and then people on my blog were like giving me tips on like how not to constantly die, which was really nice. But I play the Overlord DLC by accident, like, in the first, like, hour of the game. And so I didn't really have a good team on me, so... And I can't speak for the 360 version, but the PS3 version had 3 major glitches that I found, and I was throwing a spaz about, and I thought it was part of the main game, and I almost quit the whole game because of it, because the game doesn't make it clear that the Overlord deal is a DLC. It just pops up as a message from the Elusive Man. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this must be part. I haven't seen any other messages, and I totally forgot to check my journal, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go off and do this mission, and it was like the quality just went, you know, so I was like, what the heck is going on? And then I got Kasumi, and I did her DLC, and that was actually really fun. And
did you just have problems with Overlord because of the glitches, or did you have it because of
the
difficulty level?
It was the difficulty a little bit. I mean, you can still power through it if you're, you know, kind of on the lower level. Like, I was able to do it, but between kind of running out of ammo and just getting really frustrated and having to start over and over again, and the glitches were things like... There was this one scene where I went to Vulcan or Prometheus or whatever, and all of a sudden the screen was purple, white, black, and green.
Huh.
Damn. And I was like, at first I thought it was an effect. Like, I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Wait, cool. Oh, wait, shoot. This yeah, is and then I'm like,
something is going wrong here. Something is not right.
This is a long effect.
Yeah. I can't really see anything.
One would say it's a mass effect.
Yes,
I did it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there was the one thing we have to, like, have the hovercraft or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to bounce it off stuff. And I fell into a canyon and couldn't bounce out, but it wouldn't. Usually,
wouldn't respawn you.
It wouldn't it wouldn't respawn me. So I was like, what the hell? I have to start this all over again. So I have to go all the way back to Vulcan and then go to the next thing. So that really sucked.
That would be annoying.
Yeah. And then I did the Archangel mission. I went back to the main game and did that. And I don't know how the hell I got turned around, but I started shooting at Garrus because I was like, you're supposed to infiltrate the Mercs. And then
spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, spoilers, by the way. And then you get the Archangel. And I don't know how I got turned around, but everyone was really nice to me on the Mercs side. So I was like, am I supposed to shoot them or am I supposed to shoot the Archangel? So the first time I actually killed Garrus and the game was like, you
mission
totally
failed.
Mission fail. It's like, what? It's like, oh my god, I'm an idiot. What am I doing?
Of so course then, the Mercs are nice to you. You are undercover.
I'm undercover. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? So then I went after the Mercs and I got my guns mixed up. So there's a guy like a foot in front of me and I meant to use like a close range weapon. Instead I blew him away with a grenade launcher.
Still sounds fine to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever works. He's dead, right?
Yeah, it worked, but I was mad because grenade launcher didn't have any very much ammo. So yeah. I was like, oh damn it.
Grenade launchers. It would be so fun to shoot one of those. I was not happy when I came in today, so I was looking up clips from Falling Down. I don't know if anyone's in here seen that movie. It's a movie from it's like early 90s,
like,
but at Michael
comedy.
Douglas.
I was just going to say.
Michael Douglas, where he just kind of, he loses his job, I think. I can't even remember the details behind it, but he basically then just goes nuts and starts, he does shoot a grenade launcher at one point. I just rewatched that clip this morning.
It is really fun to have a grenade launcher and you just took care of like half your enemies. So that was really cool. But yeah, I'm still collecting people. The only thing I have a complaint about still is like the romance options are a little weird for my female shepherd. There's Jacob, Garrus, and like Thane or
Thane.
Yeah,
stick with Kaden. Woo!
I can't. I didn't play the first game.
Were you really looking?
Why didn't you have a comic?
Oh, it can you do that in the choice of the comic?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. All right. I haven't looked at the comic yet.
Oh, well, you can't do it now.
Oh, good.
Did you say
replay?
Comic. There's an I couldn't figure out how to do the interactive comic, actually. I was like, okay.
You have to download servers, and that's it. And then it works.
Magic.
Dumb. Whatever. All right, well, Kaden is no longer an option, because I don't want to start the game over if I can't get it now.
Doesn't matter. Kaden's a douche. He looks like a douche.
He does look like a douche.
Actually, I have to go
with
Jess with this one. Like, he does kind of look like an idiot.
Well, so does Alistair. There, I said it.
No, he doesn't. He's amazing. You take that back.
No, look at his face up there.
Look at him. Well, look at Kaden.
Kaden looks way better than
Alistair. I'm not saying that Alistair didn't act like a total bi. Something, something, something when it came to taking on the power of the throne. However, he has a wonderful sense of humor, which I
think
truly appreciate.
You have to harden him.
I think
you can't. He will take control if you harden him. Like, there's a thing where
this is a family friendly podcast.
Oh, no.
I don't know why you would use such language on it.
Blame BioWare. It's totally their fault. You can harden your characters. You can make them really bitter and jaded. So if you, again, spoiler alerts, if you go to meet his sister, and then afterwards, after she is total jerk to him, and you have an option of like answering some question, and then you can actually say like, you know what, people suck, and you just gotta stomp all over them, basically. And then when you go to get the throne, he'll be really aggressive about it.
That sounds like something I would say today.
Tell us about your day and what you're playing.
Well, my day. So I haven't been playing much again. I did play some, but it's all been girl games, so I feel a bit like a girl today during this, because Brian has been commandeering the 360 for Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, okay.
So he's been playing a lot of that. Yep. That would all be the husband playing, like, collecting
still?
A certain... Yeah, he's... Oh, he plays through stuff so slowly, and he spends so much time on his inventory screen, like, figuring all that. He's one of those players.
He's an A-type personality.
Yeah. When Fallout 3, like, he had his house, like, he had all the storage, he had storage lockers, like, with different spots for each thing.
Wow.
And, no, I'm not kidding. No, he was crazy insane. Yeah. So he's slowly like on and off working. So he hasn't been playing for a while, but he's back, been back in this last week. So I had, was playing Diner Dash Facebook, for which went in open beta yesterday. And I've never been really much of a Diner Dash player, as in at all. But it was actually kind of addictive.
Sorry, my mom's calling me.
It actually was not, it was not bad. In fact, I liked it enough, so I was playing it. And what's kind of frustrating is that right now, like, you have to unlock, you have to add new elements to the gameplay, you have to get new restaurants. But the only way to unlock new restaurants at the moment is to buy them, and they're like $4 each.
Ugh.
And you can buy a game, an actual Diner Dash game, for $7. So
yeah,
so
yeah.
I just did that and started playing it. So I was playing a little bit of that, and then I've also been playing Dragon Age Legends, which is the Facebook game, which read more about tomorrow, have the first, because it's a closed beta right now in a minute, and we will have the only little write-up on it anywhere on the internet tomorrow.
All right, off. So.
Yay.
Off.
Yeah.
Off.
So, yeah.
Podcast, you can tell me if it's worth it or not.
Well, I can say, I think I can say this right here, that it's definitely developed for Dragon Age fans first and foremost.
Well, like, I would assume so. But yeah. I mean, like, I'm not a fan of Facebook.
No,
games,
I know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. So you can check back on IGN tomorrow to learn more about it. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. So on to topic. It's really weird hosting, I have to say. I can't much more sitting back. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, letting Nicole do all the work.
I know.
Exactly.
Thank you, Nicole, for all you do. So today's topic is just with the 3DS on the way. The release date has been announced and the price and all that sort of stuff. And PSP 2 details are coming out. Do we think?
I heard later today.
Yeah.
Isn't it tonight?
It's tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so that stuff is being...
Well, we think that they're going to... No, but
that is the heavily rumored...
an event or something.
There is an event. Supposedly Engadget got its hands on...
That was the PSP
phone. Oh, PSP phone. Right.
Yeah. But they are supposedly having a Sony conference in Japan tonight.
Yes, because it's like at 10
where we suspect they are going to talk about the PSP 2.
It'd be really funny if they didn't.
Yeah, that's
and they were like, we're just going to keep our mouths shut forever. We're never going to announce this thing. It's just going to show up on shelves one day.
So do we think gaming handhelds are becoming a thing of the past?
With
iPhones and stuff. Like, you look at a 3DS.
You mean against iPhone, then? iPhone or PSP phone would be considered a handheld gaming, like,
I'm taking phones out of it, like, I'm talking like standalone game devices, like portable game devices.
Definitely, because I know I've always been a handheld gamer as well as an at-home console gamer, and so I think that it's sort of a different experience that you're looking for from a handheld system. You know, it's sort of its own type of core experience that
versus like an iPhone game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have an iPhone and I downloaded Infinity Blade and Cut the Rope and all that stuff, and it doesn't really affect me purchasing regular handheld games. You know, like, it's more something to supplement that, like when I'm at the grocery store or something. I don't consider it like my core handheld experience, and I don't think it's really a
thing
for that.
But you play games at the grocery
store?
Yeah, if I'm waiting in line.
I had this vision of you going up and down the aisle, like, knocking into stuff and like running into people.
You know, like, if I'm waiting in line somewhere, I'd like, okay, I'll cut a few ropes or whatever. But
See, I'm of the mindset where now that the smartphones and things like iPads have such a selection and are so good at displaying these games, and that I already have it on me at all times,
right?
I have no reason to carry around or have any desire to carry around a PSP or PSP2, whatever, DS. You know, I mean, a lot of the DS games that I do have, I can also now are coming through my phone. Like, Cooking Mama was available. Well, we had Street Fighter for a while. You know, like, not that that's a DS game, but we, you know, like, we've got a game out there that's, I mean, and they're
quite like legit games.
Yeah. And they're getting good, and they're really good. And so I just feel like there's no reason to go and buy a portable gaming system anymore. The exception to that being, so what are some of the other things they offer? Let's say with like PSP, you've got, you know, they used to play the UMDs, now they don't, but you can still play videos UMDs. On them. Yeah, remember that? You can still play videos, you can watch your movies and all that other stuff. Well, you can still do that on your phone. So it's just like, to me, there's nothing that portable gaming systems are offering that I don't already have on my phone, or, you know, I don't have it yet because I'm going to wait to the next gen, but let's say an iPad, where I would be carrying that around with me constantly because of my travel and things of that nature, which is exactly when I would be using a portable device to play.
Do you have an iPad?
I don't. When I wanted one really bad, but when they first came out, I just didn't have the money to spend on it. And then by the time that I did, I just knew that the minute that I was going to purchase it, Apple was going to screw me and come out with a new one. So I'm just like, you know,
waiting for the next one.
I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'll wait to the next one, which I hear is coming out supposedly, what, it's been rumored this year.
February announcement, April releases the rumor.
So you know what? I've waited this long. Just going to wait a little longer. And then I probably will. And I'm glad I did, because I've watched Blair and I've watched some other friends that do have them use their first gen iPads, and they love them, and they've come in such handy for them, and they and such handy. You know what I'm saying. Yes. And then you know, and the things that I would use it for, which would be entertainment on the go, and then also basically emails for work and videos for work. That's I mean, I'll probably stop using a laptop altogether. So, I probably am going to get the new one when it hopefully supposedly soon comes out.
What do you think, Christine?
I'm with Jess. And I own, like, I have a PSP Go. I have I guess just a regular DS or whatever. Sorry. I don't know. DSi. I can't remember. I can't keep them straight. There's too many of them.
There was DS, DSi, DS Lite, DS XL. Yeah. That's way too many. Yeah. Now that 3DS. I'm thinking about it, that's really ridiculous.
Yeah. And then there's going to be 3DS Lite or some shit later. Or, God, sorry.
That's okay.
sorry.
That ship already sailed.
But to me, like, when I'm on the go, I want to play something that's going to be quick. And I find that that's not usually what you get on, like, a PSP or even a DS. So that's when I break out my phone. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to play something for, like, literally a few minutes because that's all I have time for before I get to go on this plane or wherever I'm going. And then you have to shut everything off, of course. But I feel like it takes so much longer to get into a game on your PSP or on your DS.
I also like being able to I want a new game. I want On the Rope. Yeah. Dink, dink, dink. I've got On the Rope now versus I got to go to the store. I got to go buy it. I got to go. Now I got to carry a cartridge around with me if I want to play it, or, you know, or I could put it on hard drive or whatever. But I'm still carrying something around.
And 3DS games are what, $40? I think.
They haven't announced the official price. They're thinking it's going to be more.
Yeah, like, that's another thing. Exactly. Yeah. Like,
versus a $3.99.
Yeah, $3 game.
When that's an expensive game, I'm like, $4? Yeah. It's true.
They are way more expensive. But that's sort of what I like about it, actually, is that it's not just the quick experience you get on your phone. You can get more in-depth games. You can get hours and hours and hours of games in an RPG or things like that, which you can't really get on your iPhone.
Personally, when I'm traveling, I have a really short attention span.
Yeah.
So that's something that I don't necessarily want when I'm on the go. Like, even if I'm on a plane, I get really sleepy. So I'm probably going to end up sleeping on the plane versus playing any game. I know, like, it's motion. Like, if I'm on a bus or on anything and if I'm not driving, even when I'm driving, I get sleepy too. So that's why I don't drive anymore.
Don't drive with Christine, everyone.
I sold my car. I don't have a car anymore. I'm safe. I just really want to play something for a few minutes. And, like, it's when I sit down on my couch and, like, that's when I'm ready to dedicate some time to playing, like, a super long game.
Megan?
I'm going to go a little bit in the opposite direction. I'd say they're not dying out just yet, because I agree that if you are into RPGs and things like that, like, graphics-wise and in terms of, like, controls, you still have analog sticks and D-pads, and they still come in handy. You know, I've played a couple of games on my Samsung Fascinate, and I'm like, yeah, it's fun, but it, in a way, I have the opposite problem where I can't hold my attention, whereas I'm the opposite of Christine. I hate to fly. I am literally a nervous wreck from start to finish. So I need something to distract me for hours on end, or I will run around the aisle screaming that yes, I am going to die.
Right. You are right then. You do.
Yes, yeah, you do need something.
Yeah, like, please, someone give her a DS.
Yeah, somebody give her something. She's climbing the walls. I always have a nervous breakdown right before I go fly anywhere, which is really odd because I love to travel. So I always take like a PSP and a DS, and I've took a portable DVD player once when I went to Greece because it was like total, it was like a 15-16 hour flight, and I was just like, I can't relax. I have to have something to get my mind off the fact that I'm 36,000 feet in the air and a flying metal hot dog. Mm-hmm. So I, yeah, for me and for other people, I think that it's kind of like you have more options, you have more features, you can do a little more, and it does have like all the specs that you need to have a better gaming experience. Right.
I suspect, though, that it's already kind of going down the road where things like smartphones are going to have enough memory and enough battery life to give you some of those full-length gaming experiences. Eventually, that will happen, and I think that's exactly why you see Sony making another attempt to create a quote-unquote gaming phone, which, you know, is incredibly risky only because of what's already on the market, the kind of bad vibe that everybody got from the N-Gages, and that failed N-Gage. Attempt, you know, and so it's one of those things where, I mean, writing's on the wall that this is eventually going to happen, where smartphones that are already out are going to get big enough that you're going to be able to like seriously do some gaming, and not just the cut the ropes and the quickie little apps and things like that. But and I'm sure that's why Sony's trying to like kind of get in the water now before everybody else makes an attempt again. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's I don't.
You did
really
bring a good point up.
Suspect
though.
It were not working.
Well, it's also like I don't know. I personally want my handheld gaming device to be just for gaming. I don't want it to be a phone and then gaming added on. So I guess it depends on your mindset. Like I've always thought of, as nerdy as it sounds, like my handheld is more of a personal thing. Like I was really attached to my Game Boy when I was a kid, and then my Game Boy Color. I hope I'm going to be that attached to my
Game
3DS.
Game Boys were out when you were a kid.
So,
yeah, kidding.
So I guess it depends what you're looking for. Your
just brought up an interesting point, which is to my argument that they don't quite have the technology yet where I spend just a little time on my smartphone on the internet and it just sucks the battery power out. So it's really obnoxious where I'm like, even if I'm just like, I've used it for work more than once and I'll just, you know, I'll glance up at the corner and it'd be like, are you kidding? I'm almost out of battery. I just charged this thing.
I would say battery life is probably the major hurdle.
Battery life. And then the other thing, I mean, at least I have, I mean, cause the iPhone still has arguably the biggest library of games option as far as smartphones, but like I still have a 3G and it's between that and AT&T's network, like it can get so slow and laggy. And I'll be playing Bejeweled Blitz is the only thing I really play regularly on my phone. And it's good but like I'll get points where it'll like stutter and I'm like, oh, I only have 60 seconds. You just wasted three of them. You idiot. So that's frustrating. So I don't know. I use them for way different experiences and I've loved my DS and on planes, it's awesome. But I will say it has been like in the past year, I think I played 2 DS.
Yeah.
Like there were 2 new DS games that I was actually interested in playing and Picross 3D was awesome. And Professor Layton I loved, but it's more Professor Layton. And it's like, I'm not excited about any of the 3DS games that have been announced.
I don't think that handheld gaming is going to go away in the sense that you're suddenly not going to have PSPs or DSs anymore. But I really think that other companies like Microsoft maybe will be more hesitant to try and launch handhelds, especially if they've got
suicidal.
And then not only that, I also think that companies are going to eventually pull back on how many versions of that handheld they're going to release.
Right.
I mean, Sony's done somewhat well. I mean, Sony certainly hasn't been coming out with handhelds the way that Nintendo has been, like the 3DS. Mm-hmm. I mean, so Sony had what? PSP, PSP
Go. Well, they had
Go.
Three. There was PSP. There were three different versions of it. Yeah. It was the 1000, 2000, and 3000. They kept slimming it down, and then
it
went to PSP.
I mean, over the course of that amount of time, look how many that Nintendo's done. So I'm just saying that I think it's going to probably always exist. It's just not going to be as inundated, the market's not going to be as inundated as it has been.
Right. Right.
Cool. I am wondering, though, about the 3DS battery life, because that was one of the things I enjoyed about the DS. It's like, I can take it on a plane, and it's not going to ask me to update my firmware, and it's not going to...
Every time.
And it's
going to,
you know, it's probably going to last, depending on where you're going, the length of the plane ride. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like... if you're using the D or the 3D option, that does not seem to be the case anymore for the 3DS. So... Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see
an idea.
How that goes.
Hey, airplanes, why don't you put chargers
that would be
by
awesome.
The seats?
Some
I
of them
mean,
do, but not very much. I mean, it's
Virgin
really
America,
small
and
percentage.
I think...
well, and often if you're in upper class.
Yes,
seat,
if you,
you
can afford a nicer seat.
Yeah, but even
seat.
United... I mean, I've flown... Because I fly United all the time, right. So I've got one of those like, hey, you get a free upgrade, right. You know, if nobody else is claiming it. So I get pushed up to first class on occasion, and often enough to know what first class is like. And there are unless it's like a cross
transit,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a cross U.S. or a transatlantic flight, there are no plugs in first class that I've been aware of. I mean, it just sucks. Virgin America has them, and I think some bigger flights on America. Can do, but it's so funny to me that now these planes completely off topic, but sort of, not because if you've got your phone on you, or if you've got specifically your laptop or your iPad, which everybody usually does on these flights to occupy yourself, you've got these flights now that are offering you like a go wireless, so you could technically, if you got a strong enough signal, play any number of PC games that you would want to play or browse or whatever. Whatever the hell it is that you want to do.
You could play WoW in the sky.
I have played WoW in the sky, actually.
You?
I have. And it didn't work great, but it worked. But it worked. And, you know, so you've got this great opportunity. You're offering this $10.99 wireless service on the flight, but then you basically limit that company to, let's say, 3 hours of time.
Right.
Because that's about as long as anybody's battery is going to last.
Or if you have
because
one
you don't
maybe
have,
that's a strategic
because you
move.
You don't have plugs because you're so cheap. You're going to charge me extra for me to check my bag and potentially try and push a law that makes me pay for checked bags on the plane, which have always been free, but you're not going to give me a effing plug at my seat so that I can entertain myself on your flight. Dicks.
Sing it.
Yeah. Boom.
Except
how about
Virgin America does have Red and you can play games on that.
Yeah. Virgin America's
it's
great.
Not very good though, those games.
Yeah. I like playing Mahjong.
Okay. Mahjong is the only one that I played. But I've had controllers.
The only game that I liked on Virgin American flights with the Red system is Doom, and it actually works pretty well. But and without any really lag.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, a little bit, but nothing. I mean, something that I expect to occur because I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, didn't they just sign a deal with EA where they're going to have some online sports betting and some EA sports kind of thing going on? That means nothing to me, but for those people that... That means nothing to me because I could give a rat's ass about sports games. Right. But for all of the men out there that are into video games...
And the women who like playing sports games.
Yeah, and those two.
Even if none of them are in this room.
Exactly. Yeah, all three of you out there. you know, they'll probably... that's a step in the right direction, at least for... It's impressive to me that Virgin American, yet again, is at the cusp of young travel...
Yes.
Necessities.
No, it's nice. Virgin America is nice.
I'll tell you, it works because I will default to flying them every time if
I love
possibly
flying Virgin
can.
America.
Yeah, Virgin American is awesome. I took a flight to Las Vegas with them and it was great. And people were like totally partying it up and they were totally cool with it. And
this podcast sponsored
by
Virgin
America
and BioWare.
I will sing both those praises till I'm blue in the face. Because, I mean, it really does affect people that... Do a lot of travel and are into a lot of tech, that something as simple as a plug at your seat
will
make a huge difference.
With Virgin America, so the first time I flew them, I was traveling for work and I was like, oh, this is awesome. So then I told Brian, I'm like, we have to fly Virgin America. And he was like, okay. But then the next time that it made sense for us to take it, we were flying up to Seattle, but we had had a kid by that point. And I felt kind of like I was bringing a baby into a bar. I'm like,
Yeah, that is a little bit like that.
This is a 21 and older flight.
I sort of wish they had that. No offense to you when you're a child. No. But
like an
adult only flight.
Me too. And then I could just have someone else watch her while I flew.
Yeah,
without.
That would be nice.
Just have a babysitter section.
We're getting a little off topic now.
We're totally off topic. Okay.
So
we all have different opinions, but I think we all think it won't go away. But yes, blah, blah, blah. There we go.
And questions.
Handheld gaming. Done. We're moving on. So this is a letter from Jay. And Jay wants to know what are the right steps to take for if you freelance? So because he heard Jess talking about how she was freelancing before she started at IGN. What are the right steps to take to when you freelance for websites, magazines, etc.? What are the right steps to take to protect your work?
You can't.
Well, it's not your work. Usually, when you get assigned and paid to write something for a magazine or a website, they own what you did.
What does he mean by protecting his
work? I think
what
he means is like somebody cutting and pasting it off of your internet site and then using it as their own on their site. Mm-hmm. And I think Colin just had a situation where that happened to him. And there's really not anything you can do with the exception of publicly calling that person out.
You can publicly call him out, which
Colin
did. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's the only thing you can really do.
If it's a word for word thing and you wrote for another company, like it wasn't your own website, you can also let them know because they probably have, I mean, we have lawyers on staff here at IGN and there have been sites that have copied stuff wholesale out of our things. And so when we see that, we send it along to our lawyers and they follow up with it and say, we'll take legal action.
I think it just depends on how much you want to fight the battle because, like you said, going to the lawyers is always an option. And if you are working for a company that's a legit enough company, they will have lawyers on staff for you for that very reason. Mm-hmm. But then I also find just publicly shame them probably works just as well.
It's tough. And there are a lot of copiers out there and it stinks.
Just dragging their name through the mud.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's just the way that the internet works. So, I mean, copying, pasting is very easy for people.
Okay. I'm looking at this question and I don't really, hang on. So this guy's writing in and
I can read the subject line.
This
here,
is on
and I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, it's he's saying something on that he saw the article on Gamer Girls getting it on. I don't know what this was. This is all the way from back in October.
No, this is on IGN or was
okay.
This
is Greg Osborne. Well, his question is, do you think there may be a link between testosterone and video games?
And saying that girls who play video games
I don't know what
testosterone.
You're talking about. So he says that, I guess.
Let's go get a beer, Christine. Okay. I'm going to play some first-person shooters later.
So he's saying that
I'm going to go scratch
women
myself.
In places.
That there are some cases where some women have higher levels of testosterone than others, and a lot of girls that he knows who have this problem also seem to have a robust sex drive, and so then maybe
and
that makes us want to play video games.
What
I don't even
game?
Know what he's asking.
What
I don't
is
know
this?
What he's asking.
I don't understand your logic there, but
I don't either.
I think this is a skip, unfortunately.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure he's probably well-meaning in his writing, but come on.
Just tell him to have fun
sorry,
with his girls with high sex drive who like to play games.
Yeah.
I don't really see what the problem is here.
Yeah. I don't know. We're not scientists.
Is he bragging?
Okay. This is from Matthew Heatley, who wants to know, has IGN ever thought of making a magazine? IGN did think of making a magazine.
I guess IGN had made a magazine.
Yeah.
For
like
many
a one-ish.
IGN.
Well, that's true.
And wasn't it?
Imagine Games Network.
Yeah. It was a magazine. In fact, Fran Mirabella has a copy of one of the issues still. Back in the, 90s?
So IGN used to be part of Imagine Games Network, which Imagine is now called Future, and they're the company that still makes PlayStation, the official magazine, and
OXM.
The official OXM, and the Nintendo Power now they do. But then when IGN spun off, they did, I think, one issue,
Was it just one?
IGN the magazine, yeah.
Oh, I was under the impression it was...
I think it
magazine.
Was just one or two issues at most. It was like a special... Which some people sometimes do. So there was one. But yeah, print's kind of dead. I say this as someone who worked at several magazines that no longer exist.
Yes.
And I was at one of them when it ended. It sucked. Yeah.
Okay. So no, why would we make one now?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, this letter is from Jasmine. And so she's asking if that we were saying that when we play online multiplayer games, we play with each other rather than playing with, we prefer to play online and multiplayer games with people we know as opposed to just random strangers. And she's just asking if we think we would ever change our minds on that. Like if we ever, and if so, what game?
The only time I ever do it is with MMOs. Like I'm more than willing to play with people that are in the guild, like the IGN guild, either here on DC or on in WoW or in DCU. God, I can't talk. Yes, DCUO. It's sort of hard to say fast. But and in that case, I'm totally fine. Like I'll voice chat with them. I don't care. Like
See,
everybody's been really friendly, so it's not a big deal.
I actually will never play with strangers on WoW or any kind of MMO like that, like Ion or Aeon or however you pronounce it. Which I played for all of 15 minutes, so that doesn't matter. But but I totally have done straight up stranger groupings with DC Universe Online with the instances, because you can basically just request to be put in a queue, and it usually is only a couple of minutes, and so I just sit there and hammer through it. But that's the only time.
You wouldn't do that in WoW? You don't dungeon in WoW?
No.
It was actually kind of fun in Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I mean, I was with friends at my friend's apartment, and there were three of us like passing the controller back and forth, but it's the kind of game where you can play with strangers because you're either the cop or robber type and then you try to take other people out. So in that kind of environment, that actually was kind of fun. But otherwise, I'm like, I don't know you people, and I've got my own like pacing when I play a game, so I don't necessarily want to be dragged down by other people.
I don't really consider WoW guild members strangers, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because, I mean, they're your
But, I mean, I have, friends. Like, me and my friend Cher, we always play WoW together. Like, and we level up together. We don't play, like... And
we have all characters that you play if the other one isn't.
Yeah, we have alternate characters that we play so that we don't have the problem that you run into where somebody ends up becoming a way higher level and you can't play together anymore. But we'll together go group with completely random strangers, like from other servers or whatever, and dungeons. And that's completely hit or miss. Like, some people are totally nice and cool. Some people are complete jerks. Yeah. So,
as in real
life. But I can't hear their voices, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I just see the chat box.
So one other question that Jasmine has, and this actually could be a cool idea for us to try. So she says, if we were to do a multiplayer session with each other, she suggests that we should do a contest where a listener could win a chance to be a part of that session. I would say I would actually be very open to even just saying if we were going to do something multiplayer, listing it on our Girl Fight Facebook page, because I think anyone who listens to us and enjoys playing with us isn't going to be a jerk when we play with you all.
If they are, we'll
don't
you.
Are. So we will take that under advisement and consider doing that down the road. All right, next question is from Jason Merkley, and Christine will be the one best able to answer this. And he says that he has yet to play Dragon Age Origins, but should he play it in order to fully understand or get the most out of Dragon Age 2?
No.
There you go.
Play it anyway because it is awesome.
I don't think it's as awesome as you two think it is. But I guess it really depends on your style. I just found it to be way too slow for my pacing, the original one.
It is tedious.
But and they actually do a pretty decent job of highlighting what you need to know in Dragon Age 2.
I don't care. I'll
and it's not
that
like the stories
awesome.
Aren't completely related. I mean, they do have a tiny bit of overlap, but this is like a whole new story and all that. So it's not like a real sequel, I guess.
Yeah.
It sort of is, but it's sort of not.
Yeah. Cool. This is from Alex Sobey. And he or she, I don't know, wants to know why we think so many people go back and play their old video games that they've already completed and while leaving newer games like... I think so. He's like saying like old school games.
Like, why am I playing Mass Effect 2 on PS3 again when I could play something that I've not played again?
I think he's even saying more like people will go back and play stuff like, you know, new Super Mario Brothers or like old Zeldas and stuff, but then newer games that they're less likely to replay.
Yeah, I think do what you want. I could probably answer that. I'm terrible about that. It's always going to old favorites. Mm-hmm. Like I was playing Super Mario Bros. 3 the other day, but I think it's just nostalgia, maybe. You have all these fond memories wrapped up in those games. And so when you're looking for a sort of comfort gaming session or something, mm-hmm. that's where you initially want to go.
Well, that was his next question, was were games in the past actually more fun or is it simply nostalgia? And you just... Cool. I actually hate old school games because most of them are, I think, a lot less forgiving. And I have no reflexes. I'm a bad gamer. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm not good at games. I enjoy them,
but now that I have so many things, I enjoyed them then as well, and I enjoy them now. But now that I find that I have so many other options that I'm used to the way that things have advanced, and so I've kind of got a mindset for this new stuff now. And then also just the way that my life in and of itself is structured, and responsibilities and other things that I want to do. I don't have the patience to sit down with those games and really hammer through them like I used to.
I don't know. I downloaded a bunch of stuff on Wii Virtual Console when I first got my Wii, and that kind of gave me a fix for like old games. Like Super Mario Brothers is really easy to just pick up and just go. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you only have the D-pad and an A and B button.
Well, and especially with the Virtual Console, you don't have to play the game all the way through. You can sort of stop if you have to go to work or something like that. So that's cool.
That's really cool.
But I wouldn't say that they're... it depends on what you think about games, I guess. If you think they're better, the old school games are better or worse than new games. Because I personally love the punishment of the old games. I love just screaming because I keep dying in Mega Man and just going until I finally beat it.
I scream plenty on the new ones. Plenty.
All right. Next question is from Lee, who helpfully says he is a guy. Hi, Lee. Man, Lee. So this is for Megan, actually, and so this is all the way back when you were talking about Castlevania Lords of Shadow and you called it unoriginal. Mm-hmm. And his question is, how would you make a game like Castlevania Lords of Shadow original? Because it frustrates him that people say a game is unoriginal and yet don't give a reason on how they think it could be made original.
Because it wasn't original. It was a complete ripoff of like DMC and God of War. It's the same exact game mechanics. It was like Dante's Inferno was basically a ripoff of God of War. And just looking for, I mean, I was playing this game and it felt like DMC or God of War with totally different skins. So that was, it was like,
so
it didn't offer anything
the
new.
The basic game concept was just the problem from the beginning?
It didn't offer anything I hadn't just played, you know. The same year I played God of War 3 and, you know, I keep meaning to go back and play DMC 3 and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I know this gameplay mechanic. There's nothing original or interesting. And the story was not enough to keep me going. So I was like, if the gameplay feels repetitive, because I feel like I've played this game a million times before and there's no story that I can really get into, that I'm like, why am I wasting my time? Mm-hmm. It was not a bad game, as I made clear. It was not a bad game. I couldn't say anything against it in terms of being broken. It just, I couldn't say anything really for it. I was like,
okay.
Yeah.
It's a real shame, too, because like the Castlevania series, you know, the 2D side-scrolling ones are really original themselves. So it's a shame that they can never get it together for the 3D ones. I don't know what it is, but they can't.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Cool. So since we are BioWare fans, this is sent along. So this is from Caleb, and he wants to know, so he's talking about how Blizzard used to make, you know, mostly single player games or like standalone games, not MMOs. And then since WoW, that's really slowed down like the amount of other games, because what they've released StarCraft 2 since WoW came out.
Yeah, but that's
Then WoW expansions.
That's pretty much that's an RTS. So that's
He's saying like that they haven't done like, you know, like the next Diablo has been in the works for forever. And like we haven't seen a new Diablo yet. And there haven't been non WoW things put out. Right. So he's wondering what we think.
That being said, however, though, too, Blizzard is notorious for taking forever to make their games.
He's asking what we think the chances are that BioWare could end up going the same way, since they're currently working on The Old Republic. And if it's super successful, do we think that'll slow down our GTA?
I know, because they have different studios working on different things. Yeah. Like, it's not really related.
Right, because it's BioWare Austin making Old Republic.
BioWare Austin, I believe, is making Old Republic. But, you know, Montreal is, or Edmonton or whatever the hell they're...
It's Canada.
I don't know. They are still working on Dragon Age and Mass Effect stuff
the
up there.
The real BioWare.
Yeah.
I air quoted that.
The real BioWare.
And they have a studio in Austin, right?
Yeah, that's the one working on Old Republic.
Okay.
Okay. So we don't think that.
I don't think that at all.
We probably have time for a couple more. Okay, so this is from Richard Pell. He was...
Actually, I got to go.
Okay.
Because I have a 2 o'clock appointment.
All right. And thanks for joining us, Jess.
Sorry, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So he was... Oh, yeah. Hang on.
My bad. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So he was... So this is about, like, back when Fallout New Vegas came out and how we were talking about how it was broken when it was released and everything. And he said that... he's a big Gears of War fan and loved Gears 1, and then Gears of War 2 was really broken upon release. And he thinks, do developers risk losing fans and sales for future spinoffs if they release broken games?
I think so. I mean, they think they can get away with it because they'll patch it later, but...
Well, they never fixed the Gears multiplayer.
Oh, did
it's
they
still
didn't?
Broken to this day.
Oh.
I don't know why the hell they've never fixed it. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's still in really poor shape compared to what it should be. And yeah, I do think that it looks bad. Like, you shouldn't do... I don't know why they think that it's okay, but...
Right. It's like when Gears of War 3 comes out, they think we're all going to be like, they'll get it right this time.
But I have a really bad taste in my mouth now from Fallout. It's like, I sort of am hesitant about Skyrim. Like, I don't even know if I want to play that game. Like, I'm going to wait until other people play it. And if they say that it's as broken as the Fallout games have been, then I'm not touching it. Like, I don't have time to sit there and, like, save my game 1,000 times because it may crash on me in the next minute.
Right.
Or, you know, it just breaks my heart. Like, because I want to love those games so much. And they just hate you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm worried about it too. Like, after Fallout, like, watching what's going to happen with Skyrim.
I guess it would also be another thing where I had to play that game for 24 hours, you know, like straight, just constantly. And that's when when you really notice that
you're saying that you hope Skyrim's release date is just in time for Child's Play and that you will be put on the review for it for 24 hours again.
And then I'll kill myself. I'll just jump off the roof. Even though it's not a very tall building, so I'd probably be okay.
Okay. This one is from probably the last question for today. This is from Aziz, who says, cheers from Oz, which I think is Australia, right? Am I saying that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds
we're
good.
Aziz, we're going to pretend you're from Australia, even if you're not. So
sounds like I would
day,
like to live there.
So good.
Die, mate.
He's curious what our thoughts are on Metal Gear Solid games.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope? That's not a thought.
That is because I've never played one, so.
Oh.
I have never played them and have no interest in playing them because I know that they are known for being particularly difficult and tricky and, like, that they're just, and I don't, as I've said, I don't enjoy punishing myself when I'm playing games, and I'm also not very good at games.
Readers, you should know that we don't like, we're not huge shooter fans. You should know that by now.
Well, no. Metal Gear Solid stealth. It's a lot more about stealth than shooting.
I've played a little bit, not enough to really make a judgment call
apparently
about
more
them.
Than anyone else.
But totally.
I'd say, personally,
I know Metal Gear Solid 4, so I had to change this up a little bit from what I heard, but I'm not big on the whole stealth mechanic. I like to just get in there and chop or shoot or slice or whatever. I'm not big on sneaking around. But again, not to say that that means those games aren't good. It's just not particularly my
style.
That's,
I think, my problem with it, too, is because even with Splinter Cell that came out, I had a really hard time with it because I'm really impatient. Like, I don't want to sit there and wait for this guy to finally walk into view so that I can get a perfect headshot. Like, I just want to go in there and kill him. And then that's what I ended up doing, actually. I would run in, I would kill as many as I could, and then I would run back out and, like, shimmy along the buildings for a while back and forth until they, you know, I would go back into stealth mode. But I just don't know that I could play a game entirely built on stealth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I recognize there's a lot of cool things you can do with that mechanic, but it's just not something that really interests me personally.
Yeah. I'd rather run into a firefight and just start killing things.
Yeah. Or beating things up with my fists or using a rocket launcher. So that's just not very stealthy.
No, it's not very stealthy at all. But yeah.
I will say the only thing that I like about the Metal Gear games, and this is not having played them, is reading their plot synopses because
they're so crazy.
I think I watched like one cutscene from it and I was like, this game is crazy. Like, what is that? What is he like, talking about?
It like, is like the dude's version of Passion. So, you know, the crazy soap opera.
Passions is so, so crazy. It's so wonderfully insane.
Yeah.
I will say that the new Metal Gear game coming out looks awesome. I want, I want to chop up the watermelons. Yeah. Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Exactly.
I'm
going like,
to slice
yes.
those watermelons.
I hope it's not stealthy. I just want to chop people up.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us and for putting up with me as the host today. If you you can email us at IGNGirlFight@gmail.com and you can also like us on Facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And I don't know if we're going to record next week because we are all out for 2 days.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I don't know because we have a big, crazy editorial meeting where we will all be out of the office. So it's possible that we might not record, but I will let Nicole be the one to figure out schedules and see if that works on in. So if we do not see you next week, we will see you in a couple of weeks, and hopefully Nicole will be feeling better and be back.
Yay!
And thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.